Let's just pray again. Lord Jesus, we praise you and lift your name on high. Yes. Thank you that you have placed us here for a purpose. Help us to absorb your word and to act on it. Amen. Amen. Those of you that follow the scripture reading each Sunday on your tablets, iPads, or Bibles, a little bit later, I'll be taking it from the New Testament, from Luke's Gospel, and chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. It's a little bit later. Back in the last century, not too far back, in fact, the 1990s, many Christians joined the trend of wearing a small wristband with the letters WWJD, which stood for the question, what would Jesus do? And although the fad has passed, the question is still relevant. And it prompts us to consider our words and our actions and our attitudes, and are they an accurate reflection of the life of our Savior Jesus? And before we can accurately assess whether we're doing what Jesus would do, we need to have an understanding of what Jesus said and did in Scripture. It's easy to take a few verses and come away with a simplistic view of Jesus. A lot of people are tempted to make Jesus into an image of what they want him to be, instead of trying to see the whole picture. Yes, he responded to people with compassion and love. But he also told them to stop sinning and warned them against the dangers of hell. And if we truly want to respond like Jesus, it will take more than a reminder from a bracelet. This means we must learn who Jesus is through scripture readings, and praying for him to transform both our heart and our mind. And doing that will help to clean up our life, to align our thoughts and desires with his. Jesus had a compassion and concern for the lost. And yes, I admit, that's not always easy to do. People wind us up. They upset us, frustrate us, argue with us, and sometimes ignore us. But when we do have compassion for those that are lost, our actions are in line with what Jesus would do. Thank you, Joyce. Can you put the scripture up on the screen, please? So this is Luke 19, and it's verses 1 to 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He's gone to be a guest of a man who is a sinner." Tut, tut. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Amen. Just on the last verse, "This man is a son of Abraham." And what that means is that Zacchaeus was a true Jew, not only in the lineage of Abraham, but as one who walks in the footsteps of Abraham. Remember, God said Abraham was a man of faith, and Jesus recognized the tax collector as such, even though Jewish society had excluded him. So here we have Jesus. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And just before reaching Jericho, we can read in the previous chapter that Jesus had healed a blind man. The blind man had wanted to see Jesus. And so too with this passage, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Now, Jericho is an ancient city. It's about 15 miles northeast of Jerusalem. But one of the things you can notice about Jesus is that he doesn't avoid meeting any kind of people. Whether it was the Samaritan woman at the well, whether it was a person that was blind or someone infirmed or someone with leprosy. Then there was the scholars and the leaders at the synagogues, and even someone like Lazarus who died. No one was excluded. There was no avoidance of anyone. And that in itself tells us that whatever our situation, there is hope for us. Here we have Zacchaeus, not a tax collector, but a chief tax collector. He would have had other tax collectors under him. So Zacchaeus would have relatively had an easy life. Tax collectors, as we know, weren't popular for the taxes that they had to collect. And in fact, Zacchaeus was wealthy, which made him even more unpopular. But even so, Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. But being a short man, he couldn't see him. If you were Zacchaeus, what would you have done to see Jesus? Anyone can answer.
Stand on a box.
Yeah. Yeah. He could have said, well, it's crowded. I'll not bother. Maybe I'll catch him next time. But Zacchaeus persevered, and he ran ahead to a sycamore tree. Now, a sycamore tree is a sturdy tree, about 30, 40 meters high, but it's only got a short trunk, so it would have been easy for Zacchaeus to get up the trunk, and as the branches spread out really well, he wouldn't have had to get up that high. And when Jesus arrives on the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. I bet Zacchaeus wasn't expecting that. But the fact is, Jesus is staying at his house today. Now you can see that the crowd are watching and listening, and they're not happy. Mutter, mutter, grumble, grumble. Jesus has gone to be a guest of a sinner. How dare he? Mutter, mutter, grumble, grumble. Jesus is hanging around with a sinner. But isn't that what Jesus does? What he came down on earth here to do? But the crowd, they didn't get that, did they? Zacchaeus stands up before Jesus and says, I give half of my possessions to the poor. That's good. Really good. But he doesn't stop there. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay it back four times the amount. That is a big statement from a sinner. The paying back four times the amount, in Roman law, in the case of theft, you would have to pay four times the amount that you had stolen. Have you or I cheated anybody of anything? The story of Zacchaeus not only references to Zacchaeus' wealth and his intentions towards the poor, but also because of the particular way in which Jesus responds. Today, salvation has come to your house. And we understand that salvation is in the very person of Jesus, who has come to seek out and save the lost. Zacchaeus was honest in what he said to Jesus. And we can ask ourselves, are we being honest to Jesus? And to others around us, whether they be family, friends, or people that we've met this past week, or those we would meet today. Jesus can see forgiveness. He wouldn't have said, today salvation has come to this house, if there wasn't honesty. One of the things that we can struggle with is when we come to the Lord to say sorry. confessing what we've done wrong, and yet still feeling guilty. Sometimes the problem is that we can't forgive ourselves. And what happens? We start to go into a self-punishing mode, repeatedly replaying the wrong until we feel unworthy. Eventually, we build a prison of guilt because of what we've done seems unforgivable. So what does such behavior tell about our faith in God and in our estimation of ourselves? Well, according to the Bible, our Father freely gives forgiveness on the basis of his Son Jesus' payment sin debt. Is our refusal to forgive ourselves a way of saying we consider Jesus' sacrifice insufficient? Two men in Scripture teach us about the importance of accepting God's full forgiveness. One is Peter. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And the other is Paul, who persecuted Christians. The Bible gives no evidence that either one of them refused to forgive himself. And although their offenses were great, and both men regretted their actions, they received God's forgiveness and lived in the freedom of his grace. Zacchaeus broke out from his old way of life. He could have continued raking it in, but just because you're financially well off doesn't mean that you're content with life. Zacchaeus broke out. What do you and I need to break out from in our current life or in the things of our past that we just don't actually let go of? Now, we can keep hold of these things, but they're only going to blur our focus and fester within us. Do we worry about what other people think of us if we break out of what's holding us back? Zacchaeus stood up to confess to any stealing that he had done, and to give to the poor half of his possessions. He broke out from his past. I'm going to ask everybody just to bow your heads and close your eyes. I believe that forgiveness is here today. If you know that you need to let go of something, if that's you, I'm just going to ask you just to stand up like Zacchaeus did, that you can break out from what's holding you. Just keep eyes closed. Forgiveness is there today for you. Please, you can sit down now. Every one of us here today are not here by accident. You could be like a drowning man who had a life buoy tossed to him. You may reject it and be lost, or you may take hold and be saved. Those of you that have stood today have stood in faith And I believe the Holy Spirit says forgiveness is there in your heart today. Accept from the Father the forgiveness. His Son Jesus paid the debt for your situation. Amen.